87 en Madrid 91 133 5833.
Hello, I'm your Vaughan telephone class teacher.
Ya está aquí el Beat for Teens. El Beat for Teens es un programa de inmersión intensiva de domingo a viernes para jóvenes entre 15 y 18 años, en grupos de 6 alumnos como máximo. Mejorarán su agilidad oral y comprensión auditiva en 6 intensos días con el método Vaughan. El programa tendrá lugar en un colegio mayor e incluye alojamiento en la habitación individual con baño privado, pensión completa, material didáctico de Vaughan y, por supuesto, nuestro equipo de profesores de Vaughan. Llámanos al 91 133 5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Repito, 91 133 5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. Beat for Teens, de Vaughan.
Hey guys, are you sitting around your home just wondering what to do? Well, why don't you sign up for Vaughan's English class via video conference? That's right. Now you can have the best teachers in the comfort of your own home. You'll get personalized attention because there's a maximum of only 6 students per class. Give us a call, 91-133-5831. Learn English with Vaughan via video conference classes. Sign up now.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91 133 5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91 133 5833.
Esta es La Hora Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome to the Extra Hour, Tuesday's edition, Tuesday night. It's Tuesday evening, Tuesday night, 10 o'clock at night. It's a good time for English, so let's get going. Let's get going. To get going. To get around the town. I get around the town. Round, get around. I get around. The Beach Boys. I get around. Me muevo por ahí. Yes. I get around. The bad guys know us and they leave us alone. I get around. Yes. I'm getting bugged driving up and down the same old strip. I got a funny new place where the kids are hip. Where the kids are hip. Los chavales son que molan. Okay, son guay. Hip. This was in 1963, I believe. The Beach Boys, I Get Around, I think, or 1964. This song came out when I was still a kid. Yes, I Get Around by the Beach Boys. Let's see when it came out. This song came out in 1965? No way. 1963. Fecha de lanzamiento. Release date, 1963. The Beach, nope. I'm going to have to find I Get Around. Wikipedia is a song written by Brian Wilson and Mike Love. All right, it came out in April 1964. May. It was released. It was recorded in April. And it was released in May 1964. Now, in May 1964, I was 12. Yes. I'm getting bugged driving up and down the same old strip. Strip is un tramo de calle. Got a funny new place. Funny in this case means curioso. Sintio, intrigante. Got a funny new place where the kids are hip. Now, this word hip in 1964... The word hippie, those hippies, didn't exist yet, I think. I think it came from that. The hippies were people who were hip. And it was a popular word in the early 60s for guay, camola. And it was hip. I get around. Cool song, man. This is one of my favorites by the Beach Boys. And they made a lot of good, very good music. The Beach Boys, California Sound. All right, questions. Do you get around, Richard? Not anymore. I don't move around too much anymore. I take it easy. Yes. I've moved around a lot in my life, so I don't need to go to any more countries. Although I've said many times, on the list of countries that I need to visit, number one is Argentina. Number two is Japan. And number three is Australia. Number four is, it's difficult to say, Brazil. Number five is India. And that's pretty much it. I've been to 34 countries, so South Africa, they say it's incredible. Okay. But for some reason, I'm not attracted. But people say you go to Cape Town. It's one of the most incredible cities in the world. Ciudad del Cabo. Cape Town. All right. But I would like to go to Argentina and rent a car and drive across the Pampas. Drive all the way from Buenos Aires up to Tucumán and to Salta. And then turn around and drive straight south all the way to the Patagonia. And then go back to Buenos Aires. It would be kind of a strange triangle. Isosceles triangle. And enjoy that. And to go to Australia to see Sydney and to see Brisbane, the Gold Coast. Maybe across the opposite side to see Perth. Maybe to see Tasmania and Melbourne. You never know. They say Canberra is not worth it. Canberra. Canberra is kind of an artificial city like Brasilia. It was created equidistant. The capital was set there as equidistant between Melbourne and Sydney. So it was a decision salomonica or something like that. All right, to get around, does the sun orbit the earth? No, it doesn't. Does the braking system on a car need to be reliable? Yes, it does. Did Alexander the Great grow up on a farm in central Ireland? No, he didn't. Were the Mohicans an Indian tribe in North America? Yes, they were. Is there a tool shed within 100 meters of where you are now? No, there isn't. Are there any man-made satellites orbiting the moon? I don't think so. Does water boil at 100 degrees centigrade? Yes, it does. Can women run as fast as men? No, they can't. Do most swimming pools contain chlorine? Yes, they do. Is thumbs up a positive gesture? Yes, it is. All right. Does the sun orbit the Earth? No, it doesn't. The Earth orbits the sun. Is the sun static? Stationary? I don't know if the sun moves. Does the sun move? I imagine it does. Because of the Big Bang Theory, they say everything is moving away from a central point. Does the sun move? Let's see. The answer to the question, yes. The sun and the entire solar system orbits around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. All right. That's new for me. The average velocity of the solar system is 828,000 kilometers per hour. At that rate, it will take about 230 million years to make one complete orbit around the galaxy. How do they know this? I mean, really, okay. This is pretty precise. All right. The sun and the entire solar system orbits around. This is redundant, no? Poner around con orbits. What would you say in English? Would you say the moon? Or let's see. Would you say that the Earth orbits the sun? Or the Earth orbits around the sun? I have a feeling that around is unnecessary. Orbita, orbitar. You don't say that. Orbita, yes, but you don't say the verb orbitar. To orbit. We have the verb to orbit. Let's see what word reference says. Orbit. Word reference. Come on, man. Orbit. To orbit. Orbita. Okay, good. Now the verb. Orbitar. There we go. O sea, la tierra orbita el sol. Can you say that? Sounds a bit strange to me. Orbitar. Orbitar. Let's look at the Spanish definition. La RAE. Moverse en una órbita. Okay, the Royal Academy of Language is always very, very helpful. It doesn't say anything more. Now, in word reference, it says moverse describiendo una órbita. Los satélites orbitan alrededor de los planetas. Pues dice alrededor de en español. Orbits around or orbits? I would say it orbits. The sun. The earth orbits the sun. Let's put that in quotes. The earth on Google. The earth orbits the sun. All right. The earth orbits the sun. Now that's perfectly correct English. Now the earth orbits around the sun. The earth orbits around the sun. You see both. I think the second is incorrect English. Unnecessary. Redundant. And I think alrededor for orbita, which is not used. And so I've never heard that used. I've never heard it used as a verb in Spanish. But nevertheless, we're not talking about the earth orbiting the sun. We're talking about the sun orbiting the earth, and the answer is no, it doesn't. The sun doesn't orbit the earth. But what I see now is that, in fact, the sun and the entire solar system orbits around, dice aquí, around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, la Via Láctea, the Milky Way. The average velocity or speed of the solar system is 828,000 kilometers per hour. That's moving pretty fast. Everything is moving very, very fast. The Earth turns at about 1,400 kilometers an hour. And the Earth travels the speed of the Earth, the speed of the Earth around the sun. How fast does the Earth travel around the sun? How fast? 30 kilometers per second. 67,000 kilometers per hour. And then finally, how fast does the Earth spin? Gira sobre su eje. Roughly 1,000 miles an hour. That's 1,600 kilometers an hour. All right. So the Earth turns. Right now, the Earth is turning. Right now, as you're listening to me and I'm speaking to you, the land on which you are standing or sitting is turning at a speed of 1,600 kilometers. I don't notice it. It's not very windy today either. And at the same time, the Earth is traveling through space around the sun at a speed of 67,000 miles. That's about 110,000 kilometers per hour. Okay. And then at the same time, the Earth and the rest of the planets and the sun are orbiting the center of the Milky Way at 828,000 kilometers an hour. Everything's moving very fast. Slow down. You're going way too fast. That was a song by the Beatles. Slow down, baby. You're going way too fast. Lyrics, Slow Down by the Beatles. Yes. Well, come on, pretty baby, won't you walk with me? Come on, pretty baby, won't you talk with me? Come on, baby, pretty baby, give me one more chance. Try to save our romance. Slow down, baby. Now you're moving way too fast. You gotta give me little lovin', give me little lovin', yeah, if you want our love to last. I have experienced this myself. Going too fast. And it wasn't me, it was her. Going too fast. I remember that. Long, long time ago, I can still remember how she wanted to go too fast. Yeah. Come on, pretty baby, won't you walk with me? Won't you? No, no quieres caminar, o sea, dar un paseo conmigo. Come on, pretty baby, bonita chica, won't you walk with me? Come on, pretty baby, won't you talk with me? Come on, pretty baby, give me one more chance. Try to save, salvar, our romance. Slow down. Ralentiza, chica, dice, baby, you're moving way too fast. Way means pero mucho. You gotta give me a little lovin', give me a little lovin', oh, if you want our love to last. All right, he says, I used to walk you home after school, carry your books home too, but now you got a boyfriend down the street. What are you trying to do? You better slow down. That was not my case. In my case, she wanted to move too fast to formalize things. And it just was too fast. And so I stopped abruptly. Boom. That's it. You're becoming too possessive and too... I think it usually happens the opposite, maybe. But in that case, it happened to me. But that was a long time ago. Ha llovido mucho. Yeah. It has rained a lot. We don't say that in English. It has rained a lot. The Beatles. But the sun. So the earth is spinning at 1,600 kilometers an hour. It's moving around the sun or orbiting the sun at 110 kilometers an hour. And it's moving around the galaxy together with the sun and the rest of the solar system at 828,000 kilometers an hour. Everything is going way too fast. I want to get off. I want to get off. Es quiero bajar. Bajar el tren. I want to get off. Stop the earth. Stop the world. I want to get off. It's going way too fast. Way too fast for me. All right, so that's the case. Did Alexander the Great grow up on a farm in Central Ireland? No, he didn't. He didn't grow up on a farm in Central Ireland. Alexander the Great grew up in a country called Macedon, or Macedonia, in a city at that time called Pella, or Pella. Doble L, pero pronunciado L, simple Pella. Which now is just a very small little place with some ruins. But it was the center of the Macedonian Empire, created by his grandfather and father. And he was the son of Philip of Macedon. And his mother, who was from Epirus. Una Victoria Pirri, cabine del Epido. Yes, Pyrrhus. Pyrrhus's victories in Italy. Let's see, Alexander the Great. I'm trying to remember the name of his mother. I can't remember the name of his mother. And I always forget the name of his mother, but his mother was a very interesting woman. Quite the opposite of her husband. And so Alexander the Great had an interesting mix. Let's see, his mother. Let's see if I can find it. Olympias de Epido. Olympias of Epirus. And she was an interesting lady. She was a kind of a dark person. She was a sorceress, they say. A sorceress is una bruja. But there must be a better word for in Spanish for sorceress. Yes, she was very influential in Alexander's life. Yes. And she killed, I think, or ordered some of people killed just to maintain Alexander in his position before he became so important, crossing the Hellespont and conquering half of the known world at that time. Olympias. Interesting woman. She was a member of the orgiastic snake-worshipping cult of Dionysus. The cult of Dionysus was strongly associated with satyrs, centaurs, and its characteristic symbols were the bull, the serpent, tigers and leopards, ivy, and wine. Daimini los bacchanales, Bacchus, Bacco, was in Roman religion was the same as Dionysus in Greek. Yes. And they had phallic processions and everything, and she was a member of that. So she was kind of a dark, she was on the dark side. Funny things. But a very interesting woman, eh? And Alexander. Olympias. But let's go on. So Alexander the Great was born in Macedon. He grew up in Macedon. His father was the king, and his mother was the daughter of the king of Epirus. Interesting, and he was educated in part by Aristotle, because Aristotle's father was the doctor to Filippo de Macedonia, Philip II of Macedon. Aristotle's father, I think that's the connection. Aristotle's father was the thing. Connection between Aristotle and Alexander. Let's see if we can find it. Aristotle, in 343 BC, Aristotle was summoned by King Philip II of Macedon to tutor his son Alexander. All right. But it was Aristotle's father, I believe. Yes. Who was the doctor I have to find this. Aristotle's. See if it's true. My memory is starting to fail me. Aristotle's father was the doctor of, you know, if we can find it. The father, Nicomachus, was the physician of Amyntas III, king of Macedonia, and grandfather of Alexander the Great. All right, so I was wrong. Alexander's father was Nicomaco, se dice en español, Nicomachus. And he was the doctor. Bueno, dice aquí fue médico y padre de Aristóteles. Now, he was the doctor to Aristotle's grandfather. All right. And then, no, Aristotle to Alexander's grandfather, Alexander the Great's grandfather. All right. So there was a connection through medicine. He was the physician. And then Aristotle wrote one of his most famous books is Antica Nicomedian Ethics. Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. Ethica Nicomachea. Now, in Spanish, it's called, if I can find it, Ethica Nicomachea. And it's a brilliant book. A little bit difficult to read, but worth making the effort. It was written by Aristotle for his son, I believe. He wanted to write, to tell his son how to behave in an ethical way. And it's one of the greatest books ever written in the world of philosophy. Sobre el bien en general y sobre la felicidad. Naturaleza de la virtud y ética. Examen de las virtudes. And things. It's very, very interesting. I've read it. Well, I've read parts of it. It's a bit difficult. There's a chapter 9. Book 9 is interesting. Sobre la amistad. La naturaleza del placer y de la felicidad. So he's speaking to his son. And so it's quite interesting. Aristotle. He's probably my favorite philosopher because I agree with him. Basically, el hombre es lo que hace. Y no al revés. No hace basado en lo como es. Es gracias a como hace. You practice a certain way and you become good. If you want to become a good English teacher, you need to practice a lot. If you want to become a good tennis player like Rafa Nadal, you need to practice a lot. And if you want to be a good person, ethically, you need to practice. And then it becomes a habit. You gain habits. And I agree with that. I don't think it's a question of a moral positioning. I think in part, of course, it's a question of your genetic code. But then you have to practice being good and doing your best and things, and you learn to do it. You develop a habit. To develop good habits, we always talk about desarrollar buenos hábitos. That's very Aristotelian, good habits. And Aristotle was the professor or the teacher or the tutor. Se dice tutor como profesor particular, a tutor of Alexander the Great for several years. And they stayed in touch by letter while Alexander was conquering half of the world. Okay, I'll be right back. Eh? Don't go away, okay? Don't go away, I'll be back.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo. Horario de mañana o tarde. Prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades. Ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia.
Haz una pausa y disfruta. Mejorando. Aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 911-133-5833. 911-133-5833.
Mucha gente nos pregunta si es posible que un método online para aprender inglés funcione de verdad. Hoy en nuestro especial Vaughan Key Points hablamos de este tema con nuestro profesor y director de innovación, Richard Brown.
La clave de nuestro método online es la motivación. Hemos diseñado un curso que realmente engancha en cada nivel, te motiva y reta para que avances de nivel. Pero la verdadera clave son los profesores Vaughan. Su método de enseñanza es lo que realmente nos diferencia. Los cursos online Vaughan cuentan con los mismos profesores apasionados que desde hace más de 40 años nos han hecho diferentes. Descubre las ventajas de nuestro método online probándolo. Así que os invito a entrar en grupovaughan.com y poneros a prueba.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás mucho tu dominio. Pruébalo en Google. Vaughan RTV a la carta. Ahí nos veremos.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 911-335-831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
¿Quieres apuntarte a un curso de inglés y no sabes cuál escoger? ¿Por qué no pruebas nuestro curso trimestral de Vaughan? Son solo 3 meses, no pierdes nada y te aseguramos que vas a ganar mucho. 3 meses en los que podrás ver cuál es tu nivel real de inglés. 3 meses en los que trabajarás tu listening y speaking en todo momento. 3 meses en los que subirás ese nivel tanto que... pues que querrás otros 3 meses y otros 3... Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back to our second half hour. Okay, the extra hour, 10:30 at night. Were the Mohicans an Indian tribe in North America? Yes, they were. Is there a tool shed within 100 meters of where you are now? No, there isn't. Are there any man-made satellites orbiting the moon? I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure. Does water boil at 100 degrees centigrade? Yes, it does. Can women run as fast as men? No, they can't. Do most swimming pools contain chlorine? I think so. Yes, they do. Is thumbs up a positive gesture? Yes, it is. Have you ever felt like giving up on life? No, I haven't. Do you get depressed when you fall behind on things? No, I don't. Does water boil at 100 degrees centigrade? Yes, it does. Can women run as fast as men? No, they can't. Do most swimming pools contain chlorine? Yes, they do. Is thumbs up a positive gesture? Yes, it is. Have you ever felt like giving up on life? No, I haven't. Do you get depressed when you fall behind on things? No, I don't. No, I don't. Were the Mohicans an Indian tribe in North America? Yes, they were. Is there a tool shed within 100 meters of where you are now? No, there isn't. Are there any man-made satellites orbiting the moon? I don't think so. All right, the Mohicans. The last of the Mohicans. Yes, sir. El último de los Mohicanos. Yes. Chincanchuc was his name, and from the book by James Fenimore Cooper, the last of the Mohicans. James Fenimore Cooper was one of the, he was the earliest novelist in American history who has become well known and famous as a novelist. He wrote several books about the wilderness beyond the early communities established by the British and the Dutch in the New World. And if you remember the movie, most people have seen the movie The Last of the Mohicans with Daniel Day-Lewis and the actress who I like, whose name I can't remember. Well, it takes place in the wilderness. The wilderness is the area that is wild with mountains and forests and wild animals and beasts. That's the wilderness. It comes from the word wild. Wild is salvaje o silvestre. And the wilderness is las zonas salvajes y silvestres. The wild, but when English, when we say wilderness, we usually think of a lot of forests, trees usually. When I read the word or hear the word wilderness, I never think of the desert. Dice aquí tierra salvaje, naturaleza jungla. Hombre, ahí está, jungla. The wilderness. Because if I spend, you know, 1 year in the middle of a distant desert, I would never say I was in the wilderness. I'm in the wilderness. Now, if I spend a year in the Amazon jungle or in the forests of central Siberia, in that case, yes, I might say the wilderness. And when you remember the movie of the Mohicans, the incredible rivers, the waterfalls, the forests, the beautiful scenery, the cliffs, that's the wilderness. And that's what James Fenimore Cooper writes about. The last of the Mohicans, yes. And his son, Chicanchuk's son, was the next to last of the Mohicans. But he dies in the book and in the movie. It's a good movie. The movie was good. Interesting. I haven't read the book. So the only thing I know about this story is the movie. And the movie was well made, and the music, the theme song, is absolutely beautiful. If you don't remember, you go into YouTube and put The Last of the Mohicans theme song. La pieza temática. Theme song. And you listen to it, you know, oh, wow, I think I've heard that. It's a very, very beautiful song. So were the Mohicans an Indian tribe in North America? Yes, they were. I would say practically all of the Indian tribes in the eastern part of what is today the United States and Canada have disappeared completely. Now, the Indian tribes in the southeast, no. The Seminoles, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Chickasaw, the Creek, they were moved west by Andrew Jackson in the 1830s, the Trail of Tears. They were moved to Oklahoma. That's why I grew up in Tulsa with a lot of my best friend was half Indian. And so I grew up with Indians. And some of my competitors were full Indians. Rodney Miller. You know, Rodney Miller, I bet he was an adopt. Now when I think back, he was a classmate of mine, Rod Miller. And I when I think back and remember him now, he was probably full Indian, Cherokee or Creek. He was a fast runner, but I was able to beat him. But he was the fast. Before I got to that school, Carnegie, and before my parents moved from Houston to Tulsa, he was the fastest runner in his class. And I got there and I could beat him. And frustrated because of that. But he was a nice guy, and his parents, neither one of them looked Indian. Now when I think back, it didn't occur to me at that time when I was 9 years old and 10 years old. It didn't occur to me that he was probably an adopted child. Rodney Miller, nice guy. Very nice father, and his mother was my teacher in primary school, Mrs. Miller. All right. The Mohicans, but most of the tribes in the East that first encountered Europeans, those tribes disappeared. They were wiped out by the white man, by the Europeans, the Hurons, the Mohicans, the Mohawk Indians, and many others. It was sad story of simply a clash of civilizations at different points of development. The Indians in the New World were nomadic. In what is today the United States and Canada, the Indians were back before Stone Age. Well, they were in the Stone Age. In the Stone Age. Now, down in Mexico, the Aztecs and others, the stage of development was greater, but still far, far behind. The stage of development of the Aztecs and the Incas were closer to maybe 3000 BC, 2000 BC, like the Mesopotamians and the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians. It was a bit like the Europeans of the 16th century. Encountering the Egyptians of the pyramids of 2,600 years before Christ. So it's basically a 3,000 year difference, maybe, in development. And so the Indian population was doomed. They would never be able to hold their own or to defend themselves from the conquering European civilization coming in. And so, as you say, estaba escrito. It was written. All right. Is there a tool shed within 100 meters of where you are now? I said, no, there isn't. But there could be. Because from where I'm speaking, just less than 100 meters away, there's a big garage for parking. And there could be a tool shed. Shed is cobertizo. Shed. S-H-E-D. Shed. Now, tool shed, cobertizo, para almacenar. Herramientas, tools. We say a tool shed. Now the question is there a tool shed within, dentro de 100 metros, a mi alrededor, within 100 meters of where I am now? Where I am now. I don't think so. But there could be a tools, but not a tool shed. It depends on how you define tool shed. Maybe there's a tool room, or something within 100 meters. I really don't know, and I'm never going to find out. So this question, is there a tool shed within 100 meters of where I am now? That question I will never be able to answer. And besides, I don't care. I don't care. Are there any man-made satellites orbiting the moon? I don't think so. I don't think so. Are there, but I could be wrong, are there satellites orbiting the moon? Let's see. There's only one known artificial satellite orbiting the moon at the moment. And that's the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Well, what do you know? We've learned something new. The LRO. It's about 5 meters in size, so it's very small. And which would make it appear as an unresolved point of light from the Earth. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Okay. Well, now we know. Now we know. But I can't... Let's see. Satellites orbiting the moon. Right now, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Here we are. In Spanish, they call it the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. Okay. Es una sonda espacial estadounidense destinada a la exploración de la Luna. Fue lanzada en junio del 2009. All right. So, is it still orbiting? Sí, la nave sigue estando operativa a día de hoy. Okay. Ubicada en una órbita lunar alta. Desde la que continúa enviando imágenes. All right, well, I didn't know that. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I'm learning new things every day. You can, you know, even at my age, I can still learn new things. Okay. So there's one artificial satellite, which means maybe there are natural satellites like... I don't know. Maybe there's some rocks orbiting the moon. I don't know. But as I said yesterday, the moon, or this, when did I say it? I think it was yesterday, that the moon is really a satellite placed there by aliens. Who knows? Okay, so yes, there is one man-made satellite orbiting the moon, taking pictures and sending those pictures back to Earth. It's an American satellite. But the moon, my God, I was talking about this a week or two ago. The moon is very, very big. It's not normal. If you look at the solar system, there are several moons, especially Jupiter, of course. But the Earth's moon is big. Strangely, strangely big. And very close to the Earth, relative, compared to other moons. The moon is one quarter the size of the Earth, 25%. And it's so close that its gravity has an impact on how our world works. The force of the moon, they say, is so strong that it can move our oceans and cause the high tides and the low tides. Our exploration of the moon and the solar system is just beginning. So there's still myths and legends. Mitos y leyendas, going all the way back to the Mayans. The popular theories like the Big Bang receives a lot of criticism. It's interesting that the Big Bang theory, you see, it's a bit like the flat earth theory. All right. Because I don't necessarily believe the Big Bang theory, but I think it's more believable than the flat earth. I do believe the earth is round. No problem there. But the Big Bang, I have some trouble believing it. But in any case, now, one theory that's getting more and more attention is that the moon is an artificial satellite that was put there by aliens. The moon is not natural. It's artificial. It's a satellite that was placed there by aliens. And the first evidence, las primeras pruebas, o sea, repito, evidencias, y things, the first evidence of this came in November 1969, that was Apollo 12. Yes. The Apollo 12 launch vehicle, when the lunar module returned, they ejected the launch vehicle and it crashed into the moon. And upon impact, the moon was recorded by a seismograph to be ringing like a bell for nearly 1 hour. This was unexpected and it mystified the scientists. They couldn't understand it. And there was evidence that maybe the moon is hollow. Hollow means hueco. La luna es hueca. The moon has tens of thousands of craters on the surface, as you know. However, all of the craters have the same depth. It's very strange. All of the craters on the moon have the same depth. This suggests that maybe there's some sort of metallic barrier underneath the surface, protecting it from damage. And it's strange. There were two Russian scientists who published a study called Is the Moon the Creation of Intelligence? And this study hypothesized that the moon is actually an artificial satellite put in orbit around the Earth. Okay. All right. It is true that the moon is one of the most enigmatic objects in our solar system. Other evidence says that the moon seems to be artificial because it orbits around it. The orbit is nearly perfectly circular. The orbit of the moon around the Earth is perfectly circular. And the moon doesn't spin. no gira sobre un eje, su eje. The moon doesn't spin on an axis like the earth. The moon is perfectly circular in its orbit. And it raises the question of what hides behind the dark side of the moon. It's very strange that the earth turns on its axis. All the planets do, but the moon doesn't. So we only see one side of the moon. We never see the dark side. And this is, these two characteristics are not found on any other celestial body in the solar system. None of the other moons or planets or anything behave like the moon. And the moon contains a unique combination of metals, traces of metals that are not found, such as brass. It has metals that are not naturally occurring. Brass, B-R-A-S-S, is an alloy. I think it's of zinc and tin, I believe. Let's see, brass, B-R-A-S-S, brass. Latón, they say brass, is an alloy of copper and zinc. Okay. Yes. El latón es una aleación de cobre y zinc. And they have found brass on the moon. But brass is an artificial alloy. How did artificial materials show up on the surface of the moon? These are not natural materials. Yes. And titanium. There's 10 times more titanium on the moon than on the earth. Yes, there are too many mysteries in the moon that haven't been solved. I don't know. It's strange. I think it was Apollo 13 they sent it down quickly and the moon was vibrating and ringing for 3 hours, according to NASA seismographs. So it's quite interesting. The moon, maybe it's hollow. And on the dark side of the moon, you have the entrance into the center of the moon where they are observing the Earth or monitoring and influencing the evolution of our species, of the animals and everything. But it's strange, the humans have evolved so quickly in the past, maybe, I don't know, in the past 100,000 years, or even 50,000 years, we have evolved so quickly, and the rest of the animals on the planet have not. They have not evolved. They don't come close. The ability of Homo sapiens to think, to speak, human language, human ingenuity. The animals don't even come 1% close. And that's strange. So I've never looked into this too much, but it would be a fascinating field. Maybe in my next life I'll move that up to number 2 on my list of what I want to do in my next life. All right, does water boil at 100 degrees centigrade? Yes, it does. In fact, water can boil at lower temperatures if you manipulate the pressure, the air pressure. At a lower air pressure, water can boil at a lower temperature. But nevertheless, water boils at 100 degrees centigrade, 212 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's interesting, water takes longer to boil if you're watching it. You remember the saying, a watched pot never boils. A watched pot never boils. And the feeling of time, how we perceive time, is very, very strange. Yes. I guarantee you, if I put a pan, un cazo, with water, and I turn the stove up to 10, maximum heat, and I stand looking at it, waiting for it to boil, it seems to take forever. But I do the same thing. And the moment I put it at 10, I turn around and walk out and go to the living room to fetch something, to get something, and come back, it's already overflowing. which means it takes more time to go to the living room and get what I wanted. But it doesn't feel like the time is passing. It's just totally different sensation of time when you're watching. They say, una olla o un cazo vigilado nunca hierve. Bueno, el agua dentro de dicho cazo, claro. The watched pot never, of course, the pot never boils. It's the pot of water. But we say a watched pot never boils, which is not true, but it seems like it, of course. It seems like it. A watched pot never boils. This is a common expression in English. Okay. El que espera, desespera. Quien espera, desespera. This is an interesting... A watched pot never boils. All right. And so it is true. So the way we perceive our perception of time is waking up early doesn't make the sun rise earlier. Yeah, in Spanish you say, no por mucho madrugar amanece más temprano. Yeah, waking up early doesn't make the sun rise earlier. But a watched pot never boils. But water boils at 100 degrees centigrade. All right. Can women run as fast as men? No, they can't, but some women can. Some women who are Olympic sprinters or long-distance runners, of course, can run faster than most men. The world record on the 100 meters is 10.55 or 10.56. However, that was Florence Griffith, and she was taking enhancement drugs. However, they should put an asterisk next to her time, because she died young. I think she died, maybe one of the reasons, because she took so many enhancement drugs. But in any case, I'm running out of time again. This extra hour moves fast, faster than a watched pot and boiling water. So I'll be back tomorrow in the morning.